Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 14th day of June, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and this is typically an open forum, and because of things that are going on in the world and in my personal life, I didn't really have time to prepare a whole lot of stuff for tonight, so I'm going to pretty much just wing it and then open up the mics for contributions from people listening in. I see Lane joined us there. Welcome, Lane. So we got Ella and Lane with us to start with. But anyway, just to recap some of the craziness going on, and one of the things everybody has to understand is the world literally is going crazy. In fact, I was at a store. I don't go out to the store very often, but I happened to need to go to the store for a few things, so I went to the store, and even some of the normies that were in the store, I could hear them talking about what's wrong with people today. And that's exactly right. What's wrong with people today? They obviously don't walk with our Father Yahweh. You can tell that by the way they dress, the way they behave, the things they think are important versus what's really important, etc. So they are normies, or what I call zombies. People seem to have very little attention span, very little empathy for their fellow man, pretty much like 2 Timothy talks about in chapter 3. The condition of fallen man is pretty much what we're dealing with. Also, when scripture talks about the days of Noah, the end of the age would be like the days of Noah. Well, the people that surrounded Noah and his family, the righteous family, they were sort of the same kind of people, zombies into all the homosexuality, fornication, you name it, atheistic, devil-worshipping, idol-worshipping. And you look at the average person today and tell me they're not exactly like those kind of people. So I've had quite a few discussions with folks about coming out of Babylon. As Ella and many people have pointed out, it's not our job to fix Babylon. Babylon, whether it's evil on its own or whether Yahweh created Babylon to do what it's doing, either way, it doesn't make a difference. Babylon is not us. And nowhere does it say for us to fix Babylon. Babylon is the punishment on the peoples who are not obeying our Father. So, talking with different individuals about forming small communities, getting homesteads started, etc., seems to be on a lot of people's minds here lately. So I've seen a lot of Twitters and YouTubes and different things like that, BitChute programs, where the hosts and some of their guests are saying many of the same things that we are. It's time to pull back away from this absolutely atrocious world government. All the man-made governments are evil, especially in the Western world. They're all compromised. They're all in the pockets of Jews who are antichrists by their very nature and by their very religion. It's antichrist. And if people can't figure that out, well, they're just dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, if you can't see that and figure that out, you pretty much are dumber than a box of rocks. So we've got all this stuff going on, and so it would behoove us to figure out a way to do exactly that. Get back to the land. I'm in contact with about three or four different people here in Florida who have some ideas on how to do that, and we're searching for properties and different things like that. Also, we're looking into different ways to be able to obtain the property. Setting up a ministry, perhaps, is one of the things to do, because as a ministry, it is autonomous and it is not to be taxed. From the founding of this country, churches and ministries are not taxed. That's historic. Now, some people will say, well, you got to have IRS approval. Well, you don't. Churches got it because they believed, because lawyers told them that that's what they had to do. But the truth of the matter was they were tax exempt without the 501c3 exemption from the IRS. So again, people do foolish things because they are lied to and misled, and they go down a path that they regret later on. So we do need to get back to our original roots and demand that the government just leave us alone, just like the Amish and many others, stick to our guns and form our little communities and just operate outside of the purview of these creatures. I was just telling Ella before we went on the air a little bit about something that just happened in my life here. So if I'm a little discombobulated tonight, it's because I got some bad news, nothing life-threatening, so don't go down that path, but just with the house and the roof of the house and some different things that I'm responsible for, and found out that things are much worse than I imagined. And so it sort of set me back a little bit, because that was like literally 15 minutes before airtime when I was informed about this stuff. So, but again, signs of the times, right? We're all coming up against brick walls and different things that are happening in the world. So we need to stay focused on the simple things, the things that really matter. We need to stay in touch and network with like-minded. We do ask prayers to go out to Danny and his family. He lost his father the other day. And Danny and his brother, who happens to be named Randall, is the same as my family. I'm the older brother, and my brother's named Randall. And Danny and I, on a spiritual level, are more like brothers than most people would understand. So he just lost his dad, so now we both share that in common too. We've lost our fathers, but just say prayers for Danny and his family and all as they deal with the loss of their father, 88 years old. And we miss our loved ones. They're in a better place, and it was their time, just like it'll be our time at some point. But yeah, you're gonna miss the ones you love. I mean, you can't help it. So do ask prayers for that. So again, a lot of things that are going on that will cause us to pause and wonder. It'll also cause us to shake our heads. So you have to understand that that's why Yeshua told us, I'm warning you about this stuff ahead of time. A great shaking in the heavens and the earth is what Scripture says. And if you read the Greek definitions of those words used in that verse, it's not just natural disasters, okay? It's social upheaval, and that's the great shaking in the heavens and the earth. And that's exactly what we have going on. We have natural things that are just bizarre, usually because of man, just like the chemtrails and all that, man interfering with modern technology and using chemicals and different technology that we're not aware of. So they're interfering, but there's also some natural things on their own happening. But there's also social upheaval because of these psychopaths that have risen to the top of governments, making decisions and causing us to do and say things that just aren't true. And it's very harmful. And it's causing a form of psychosis amongst the people. There's a form of torture, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but it basically said that one of the forms of torture and psychological conditioning and psychological warfare is to get people to believe or admit or say something is true when it's obvious to the senses that it's not true. But if they can get you to go along with it, just like a man claiming to be a woman, that, on the face of it, that's just patently false. However, if they can get you to go along with it, that's a form of psychological warfare. It's also a form of torture, because that will wear you down. Because even if you go along with it and you think you're being a good person and you think that somehow you'll be rewarded for going along with the New World Order, at your inner core, at the psychological inner core of you, you're disintegrating in a way, because your subconscious knows that it's a man. It's not a woman. Okay? But your going along with it creates a conflict between the subconscious, and that tears you down. You become weaker, and you become pliable to the New World Order. And that's what they want. They want to be able to basically get the normies and zombies to be their army against you and I, against the people that are not going to go along with their, quote, agenda. So you can see that happening as this is all being played out. So once again, you have to stay close to the Father. You have to stay very much into your prayer life, which is where you get that quiet time with the Holy Spirit, and be able to kind of cleanse yourself of these rotten and evil intentions and sayings coming from these satanists, these evil forces who have no empathy for any of us, okay? They really don't care about either group. The group that's going along with it, they'll destroy them just as fast as they will you and I. We, on the other hand, have our Father on our side. They don't. So they're really in a tough spot. They're going along with the Antichrist. Who have no loyalty and would just as soon destroy him as anything else. So, like I said, it's soon to be 70 years old. I can't believe what I've lived long enough to see. Compared to the world I was born into 70 years ago versus what I see around me today, it's even though I foretold some of this 30 and 40 years ago, I knew we were going to be in trouble. I had no idea it would be at this level. I really didn't. I thought mankind would resist it much more. I thought mankind would be together much more. I thought the Antichrist would have to come down with a rod of iron to get people to submit. I had no idea people would be so easily subjugated, so easily manipulated and brainwashed. I am still astounded at the number of people that don't have a clue. 3 years into this whole scamdemic, and there's still people that don't get it. I mean, how stupid can somebody be not to see through this total BS? And yet they're out there by the millions. And it's not just the people that don't see it, but it's also the people that see it but don't have enough courage to resist. As soon as they're threatened in any way, their job, or a fine, or even being ostracized, or God forbid, lose their job, anything that inconveniences them, then they back off and they'll go along with it. I had no idea it would be this bad, how easy it would be for the Jews to manipulate our people. It makes you have a lot more empathy for Eve in the garden, doesn't it? You know, a lot of people for a lot of years is, how could Eve possibly have fallen for that line of bullshit? How could she have not seen through it? And yet, look around you. You don't understand how she didn't see through it? People today, you've got all kinds of evidence right in your face. She wasn't expecting to run into Nakash in the garden. And where the hell was Adam? He was supposed to be there right beside her because he had enough. He was the one that's supposed to have enough sense to know to stand in the way. And she was left unguarded, and she fell for it. Well, we've been falling for Satan's kids whispering in our ears ever since. You don't have to listen to Yahweh God. No, 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 no. You can be a God unto yourself, and look where it has gotten us. So anyway, that's a small encapsulation of the things I've been seeing. There is still work going on, like I said, to acquire land. Every effort is being made to develop homesteads to get as much off the grid, or at least be prepared to be off the grid should it come down to the fact that they pull the plug on us, and the next thing you know, you have no electricity, no food, or whatever, because you're one of Yahweh's people and you're not welcome in their big box stores and their corporate world. We want to be able to survive. So we have to learn the old skills that we used to know, and for thousands of years we knew them. We have to relearn those things. And we have to learn how to share and be like a family again. Because working together is how you survive. That's how you build the ark for the final days, is a ship of sorts, not a real ship, but a ship built with many timbers, and each one of us is a timber in that boat. And as we work together in love and brotherly love, we're stronger than the enemy on the outside. They can come against us, but they can't prevail. So we have to remember that. Okay, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and go into the open forums section here. So I'm going to unmute everybody. So if anybody has either a question or a topic or something they'd like to get into, now's the time to do it. Anything on anybody's mind?
Can I say something?
Absolutely. Go ahead. You got the mic.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like I'm the big mouth of this things half the time. But, you know, I'm alone. I'm a widow. I have nobody around me to tell me to do what I need to do or what I have to do, so I do what I damn well please all the time. And that's always finding out what's in the Bible, finding out what Yahweh wants for us, and finding out the people that are really interested in following him and the ones that are just putting on the show. Anyway, I was doing some research today on the artificial intelligence thing that was coming out, and a lot of articles just came right slinging at me, so I know it was Yahweh telling me that this has to be brought to their attention, that the Jews themselves had this whole plan of how they're going to control us. They want to make us all slaves. There's bad people in the world all over the place. There's a whole bunch of steps up the ladder to the top, that there's bad people here all the way up, races, creeds, religions, all that. But right at the top of the ladder seems to be the Zionist Jews. They want to control us. They think they're the bosses and we're the useless eaters that they're going to make into slaves. And one of the major events that they did lately was Event 201. That was a test to see if this COVID BS was going to make people obey them. And you know something? We failed miserably, because we were told that the common cold was a fatal disease, and we had the ignorance to actually believe them and have them inject something into our body that we didn't know what the heck it was. It could have been snake venom. It could have been pee from a snake. It could have been elephant urine. We don't know, and they were letting them inject that crap into us. How stupid can people be? And, you know, now they're coming out with saying that now that they have done this, they have artificial intelligence that is going to get into the people's brains and make them like robots. Oh, really? I guess they didn't read Daniel 2:43, did they? That part of the Bible says that there will be iron and miry clay, and they will try to combine the two, but they will not cleave to one another. So it's going to fail. The Bible tells us it's going to fail. So why are people afraid of it? Why don't we fight them back? Why don't we? Everybody is afraid that our DNA is going to get changed. Well, Yahweh is in charge of that, not us. He made our DNA. And if he doesn't want it changed, it's not going to get changed. So why are we putting so much fear into our daily lives of what they are trying to do to us? Why don't we stand up tall and proud and say, I am white, I am free, and I am Yahweh's kid, and you can't do anything to me that he doesn't allow? When are the people going to start getting a little bit of common sense, strength, and the want to take this back? We don't want to take America back, because America has been sliding down the grease pit for many, many, many years. I was my youth was in the 40s and the 50s, and this world is a completely different place than it was as it is now, as it was back then. But even then, it wasn't perfect. And in the beginning, when I was a kid, there was no such thing as income tax. And now all of a sudden, you turn around, and if it doesn't move, they tax it. And if it does move, they push it down with duct tape. We don't know what they're going to be doing to us, but we should not be allowing it. And we're stupid enough to let them. And we deserve exactly what we're getting until a major part of us stands up and says, enough. I've drawn the line in the sand, and you're not going to go any further. This is it. I've had it. Stop. That's it. When are people going to do that? That's what I'm wondering. Okay, I'll yield.
Yeah, well, it's a good question. I've been asking that question since ever since the Vietnam War, as I started learning the truth about the war I was in the middle of as a member of the United States Air Force, and was not happy with the things I was finding out. And then I got out and got into nuclear power. Same thing there, a lot of lies and deception, just wondering when people were going to demand the truth. And sadly, people don't demand the truth. The other problem, though, is why did we allow ourselves to be brainwashed into thinking that the government is all powerful? Okay. And if you want to go by the Constitution, I prefer going by biblical law, but even if you go by the Constitution, the government has no authority. Now, remember, the government exists because of the Constitution. The Constitution created these offices. Now we have a lot of offices that are not constitutional. The government just created them because we, the people, don't ever say no. So the government has no mandate and no authority when it comes to health care. And yet we think the government can tell us what to do about with our bodies. They have no mandate and absolutely no authority in issues of the family. None. And yet we give them. We acquiesce. We think Child Protective Services and the cops have the right to come in and snatch somebody's child up and take them away. That's bullshit. The government has absolutely no mandate and no authority over those issues. That's why it used to be called, policemen were called peace officers. Because if you were not, quote, disturbing the peace of the community, they had no jurisdiction. They didn't have a right to pull you over. They didn't have a right to even come onto your property. They sure as hell did not have a right to come across the threshold of your front door. Absolutely not. That's why the county I grew up in, I was shocked to find out we even had a police department in the town near where our farm was, because I never, ever saw the police cars out. My whole childhood, I don't remember seeing a police car maybe more than once or twice. My whole childhood. And now you can't go anywhere without a police presence. And they think, because they have a gun and a badge, they can literally tell you to do or not do anything at all. And yet police officers and peace officers, when I was a child, were members of the community, and they looked at their job as having discretion, and it was a completely different scenario. And again, as long as you weren't disturbing the peace and you weren't doing things like raping or robbing or murdering somebody, which almost never happened, by the way, when you're a homogeneous society, there was almost no crime to speak of. That's why you never saw the police. And people had enough sense to know to protect themselves. Every farm where I grew up had weapons in it, and everybody in the household knew how to use the weapons. You'd be a fool to go out into the countryside and think you were going to steal or trespass or kidnap or rape somebody out in the country, because the country folks would kill you and bury you in the woods. Now we think, oh, only people in uniform with guns have a right to do that. Really? See, again, we've acquiesced and we've created a new god called government, which the police force is part of, and we worship that government, and we think that government has a right to tell us what to do and not to do in every area of our lives that you can imagine. We did that. Okay? We the people did that. And all, like all true bureaucrats, if you give them the power, they'll take it. And then they'll want more. And then they'll want more. And then they'll want more. And it's like that old saying, you get as much tyranny as you accept. Okay? If you accept it, you're going to get it. And then you're going to get more of it. And you're going to get more of it. And you're going to get more of it until you finally decide I've had enough and you're willing to take a stand and put a line in the sand and say I'm not backing up any further. Whether it's one person or a million people, really doesn't make a difference. King David proved that, right? The whole army stood up on the side of that hill watching him take on Goliath. They didn't come down off the hill to help him. David went out there and said, well, if I got to do it all by myself, I'll do it all by myself. And after he's victorious, now all the brave men of the armies of Jacob Israel came down off the side of the hills and went after the Philistines. All right? But David had to go out there by himself and be willing to take on Goliath. So it may be an individual fight in the beginning. It may be a minority of us in the beginning. But once we are victorious, then courage is contagious. And even righteous indignation can be contagious. But it starts with one or a small group. That's how it starts. Or what Yahweh called his elect, his avant-garde. Okay, those guys out in front, the tip of the spear type of people. You have to have the courage and the insights and the discernment to know that Yahweh has put you in a position where you can make a difference. Your courage, the words you say, your actions, what you do. All right, because they are contagious. And the fact that there are some people who love our Father and his law who are taking steps, it's starting to affect other groups. I'm seeing it in some of the videos and different reports, some of the articles I'm reading, etc. It's there. It's a lot more than was there 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I'll guarantee you that. As Lane and different people on the program here, and some of these people have been with By Yahweh's Design from the beginning, or almost the beginning anyway, so that's over 20 years. So they know the progression. And how it started out, we were just a tiny group having meetings on the air and doing interviews with all kinds of authors and military people and police officers and doctors and nurses and authors and scientists, etc. So we have to stay focused and we have to never give up and never give in. That has to be the attitude. And as King David did, and other people in the scripture too. It's not just David, but David is probably one of the best known. So all of our men have taken on giants in our lives, and we certainly are up against a big one now. But never give up and never give in. Anybody else have anything else? Did we cover that enough, fella?
Okay, I unmuted myself. You covered it pretty well, except I think we should place a lot of the blame where it lies also. Because I went to a doctor, you know, about maybe 5-6 years ago when I had dental problems, and the dentist wouldn't take me because my blood pressure was too high, so I had to go to a doctor. My doctor claimed to be a Christian man, and he spouted the Bible, and he was, oh, gung-ho for church and all that kind of stuff. But when this COVID thing came around, did he tell the truth? No. He went right along with it and encouraged you to get these jabs. I tried to tell him about the flat earth. He would have no hearing of that whatsoever either. And the pastors in today's churches also, they should have known better. why they were in the position of being over their whole congregation to tell them it's a lie, it's not true. But did they do that? No, because they might lose their congregation. They might not get the money in the coffers at the end of the day. So we can put the blame on the doctors and the pastors, particularly the ones that claim to follow Yahweh. They did not do as they were supposed to do. And I'll tell you, they are going to pay dearly for it unless they turn around and help us now. Okay.
Yeah, there's a scripture that says at some point the pastors, their own parents will help hunt them down. Because when the people find out what they have done to set the sheep up for the slaughter, with their acquiescence and silence, the pastors are, they are so disliked and held in disregard because of their acquiescence and cowardice. As you said, the doctors, I got a family member that's a doctor, and he's one of that crowd. He went along with the whole thing because it put money in his pocket, and he felt like he was a big shot. So, and he still to this day is supporting it, even though the rest of the family has denounced him for his compliance and ignorance and just being all for the profit. When it's everybody that looks into it knows it's a lie. So...
Well, the doctors and the pastors are eventually going to be under double judgment. Because one day, very soon, the people are going to wake up. The light is going to come on because Yahweh will turn this light on. And when they see what these people have done, I pity their poor persons. They're going to go through hell on earth with the people that they have screwed. But they're also going to be under the wrath of God as well. Yahweh is going to judge them dearly for not only failing in the job that he sent them here to do, but for failing to keep the people informed of the things that was their responsibility to do. So they're going to get it. And if any of them are listening to this now or understanding me, it is time to turn around now. But there's a very small window now to do that. And if you don't do it now, there's going to be hell to pay. There is no such thing as an eternal hell run by the devil. That's not going to happen. But Yahweh has a lot more drastic punishment for those that disobey and go against his laws and rules. And those that hurt his children, they are going to pay dearly. Back to you, Dan.
Yeah. Well, after death comes judgment. Exactly right. This idea that there's a furnace being run by a character with a red suit and horns and a pitchfork, and he's going to sit there and jab you for eternity and all, that's kind of a cartoon thing. But is there judgment for your behavior in this world? Absolutely. That's common sense. That's just common sense. It's same thing with a family, okay? Is there judgment for the children when they misbehave? Yeah, if you're a true parent, if you're a mom or dad, yeah, if the children misbehave, it's your job to punish them according to the severity of the transgression, etc. But you have rules, and our Heavenly Father has rules. You know, this idea that it's unconditional love is taken completely out of context. Does our Father love us? Yeah, that is forever. Just like I love my children. But do I accept their misbehaving? No, I don't. I still love them. Yes, I still care about them. But will I accept their misbehaving? Absolutely not. So it would be the same for us with our Heavenly Father. He has expectations. That's why he gave us rules. His expectation is that we try our level best to live by his law, not man's law. William Blackstone and many other jurists and philosophers of the day made it quite clear that you're either going to be judged by God or live by God's law, or you will be under a tyranny. That's the only way you can, that's the only way it works out. You get one or the other. Yeah, go ahead, Ella.
Yeah, there's one thing I wanted to say. You probably won't say it or can't say it or whatever, but I can. I have been studying the Bible for many, many years. And there's a scripture, it's Matthew 11:14, people who want to look it up. It's Yeshua telling people that John the Baptist was the rebirth of Elijah the prophet. So reincarnation is a reality in Bible because Yeshua told us this. He said, if you will receive it, this is Elias who was to come, which meaning this, that John the Baptist was Elijah. The spirit of Elijah came back. This teaches us, too, that he tells us in the Bible that whatever we do in this life, whatever debt we owe, we are going to pay every farthing back. And the things that we do to hurt other people, they may not come back to us in this life, but they will come back to us in the next life, because there are other lives that are going to be lived. And the thing is, if you don't do the things that you're supposed to in this life, if you fail to do them, you're just going to have to repeat it again in your next life. So all the fun you're having in this life, you're going to get it again until you get it right. That's the way I understand it to be. Okay, Dan.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of people that share that. My father was looking into it before he died, and I've read the works of Mr. Hill over in Ireland. It's his contention, the same thing, that Yahweh's plan for mankind was that they were to be put on this earth and go through the cycles until they get it right. And then when you finally get it right, you get to go home and stay home. So, and again, we have to understand, man did not create this world and these, what do you want to call it, paradigms that we live through. We didn't create this. We had nothing to do with it, but we're here. All right, so it's obvious. We're spiritual, we're physical at the same time, and we know that we go on when we leave this world. When this bag of bones expires, we don't expire. Our bag of bones do, but not us, not what makes us us. That energy, that spirit lives on. All through Scripture talks about that, and it makes common sense. Okay?
In Revelation 3:12, it says that exactly. Those who overcome and get to join into New Jerusalem and receive a white stone, and they've done what they're supposed to do, they will not have to go out again. It says that right in black and white in the words, that
right.
Thou shalt go no more out. Those ones that have reached the maturity and the perfection that we're here to attain will finally get to be in the heavenly kingdom and rule and reign with Yeshua and not have to go out again. But those that don't are going to have to. And the Bible tells us that, but we just don't read it, I guess. Okay.
Well, we had an enemy that took control through the seminaries and everything else. A lot of it, Roman Catholicism, which works hand in hand with Judaism. They decided to take us away from that because there was too much power in it. If you remember, the ancient Britons were fierce warriors, and the Romans were actually terrified going against them because they had no fear of death. Many of our cultures, whether it was the Vikings or the Celts or the Scythians or whatever, they were very fierce warriors because they knew. All right, it wasn't just because of this so-called pagan religion that was made up. No, they knew who they were. They knew that their time on this earth was temporary. And they knew that they were going on to something else on the other side. And that's why valor and courage and ferocity in fighting an enemy foe to protect the people you love and all was honored so much. And it was worth dying for. You know, today they got everybody scared to death of dying. Look at what people will spend and all because they're scared of dying. They'll go to all kinds of measures and let the medical community do all kinds of things to them because they're afraid of death. Like this world is all they're ever going to get. Our ancestors didn't believe that. All right? And the early church didn't believe that. So that's something that crept in as Catholicism and Judaism infiltrated our teachings so that it would weaken us. They had to weaken us so that we were not the warriors of the past. Because our men didn't used to take bullshit from it. Okay? Today, it's hard to find a real man. It really is. There aren't a hell of a lot of them left. And it's hard to find men that are going to have any kind of seed that's worthy to pass on to create the next generation, because so many of these males are completely contaminated because of their diets, because of their injections, the foods they eat, different activities and all is weakening their ability to perform and to produce healthy seed, healthy children. All right. So real men are becoming a scarcity in this world. You can see it. So,
you know, Dan, what you said a while back to me, I remembered that when I was having problems in my family, and you know the problems that I've had with mine, and you told me then that people are put into your life for a season, a reason, or forever. It depends upon the purpose that Yahweh put them in your life for. But people now have been attuned to thinking that because they have children, that those children are going to belong to them for the rest of their life. And they have to love them, care for them, cherish them, stand them up, and take care of them. When that's not the truth. Because we don't know why Yahweh gives us children, but they're for a purpose. And my theory is, from my life, that where he puts you, that's where you are needed. He put me in Texas. I didn't want to come to Texas. But I've been kind of fruitful where I've been doing what I've been doing. But I wonder about these other people, the pastors and things like that, that are put here in the United States, which is getting worse and worse, sliding downhill into the pits of hell, when they take their time and they do missions in Africa across the seas. Why do they do that? Can you answer?
Why do they do the missions overseas?
Yeah.
Well, because their churches are teaching that it's our job to save souls, and we need to go save all the souls, because every soul out there belongs to God, and it's our job to save them.
It's not our job to save souls. Yahweh does that. The Father draws the people, and they come to Yeshua, or they don't. And what we do is we help them along while they're in this world, but we can't save anybody. He does the saving. We can't take up an altar call and go down there and say, I received Christ and I'm saved. That's a lie from hell. What do you think about that?
Well, it says he calls us, we don't call him. So his calling, in fact, I had that friend of mine, John, who is a Greek, and he lives half the year in Greece and half the year in Florida. He's been a blessing to me to explain the Greek language. And the idea that we save, and it's a misnomer. It's a misnomer. Like, when you get into the Greek meanings of the different words and all, that's not what it's saying. And it just amazes me how many people just go off on tangents because of the English translations, and many of them are terrible. And it's not common sense. So you're right. He calls us. In fact, that was the word in Greek that he was specifically talking about. When he calls out a person, John told me the Greek word is basically means to shout, to scream. So in essence, it says when the Holy Spirit through Yeshua reaches out to a soul, it's like somebody in a crowd of people and he's trying to get your attention. He stands up and puts his hands up around his mouth and he starts screaming your name. And that's what it's talking about. So in other words, when our Father calls you, there is no debate. There is no second guessing. It's not like at the church where you go down and say the sinner's prayer and they all stand around you and they make this big commotion out of it. And I've seen it. I've been to Pentecostal churches and watched how this all went down. And again, not every time, because some people can feel Yahweh's calling under those conditions, but not many of the people. You can tell that they're not experiencing anything like that. And yet the congregation will go up there and they'll make it like, you know, that this is what's happening, and they'll actually push the person to the ground. I've seen them do it. And then they go, oh, that person was slain in the spirit. And then the person lays there because they don't want to, you know, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. You can see it in their faces and all. So you very quickly go, you know, this is crazy. Yeah, our Father.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I've been there and done that too. I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of our Father. It's a very simplistic thing. Man tries to complicate everything. But our Father and our relationship to our Father is very commonsensical. It's very logical. You can feel it. You know it. If you don't know it, then you probably haven't experienced it. But in my knowledge and in my life, when you call out to the Father, He's listening. He listened to my prayers as a young boy. Okay, so there was none of this, well, you got to be a man, you got to be this, you got to be that. No. Well, that's kind of funny because I had my conversations with the Father as a young boy. And I know for a fact He was listening because I've now got years under my belt and I can look back and see all the answers to many of the prayers that I've had. Because back when I was younger, obviously, I wasn't sure if He was going to answer them or not, but as I got older, I would see His presence in my life over and over and over. However, that means that your prayers are in line with His will. Because if you're not praying in alignment with His will, then that's a whole different story. You're probably not going to get your prayers answered. I knew people that used to pray for a winning lottery ticket or a new car or a bigger house, and it's like, why are you praying for that? He's not a genie in a bottle. Why aren't you praying for His will? Why aren't you praying for strength and discernment so you can tell what His will is? It's His will that matters, not our will. We're just players in this play or this scenario that He has created on this earth for His purposes, not ours. Like I've said for many years, you know, we had nothing to do with our being here. Okay? You had nothing to do with your mom and dad and their decision to get together that night. And then your body was created. Okay? You had nothing to do with that, but you're here. Just like I'm here. I don't recall how that all happened. But I'm here. And I know that there's a place I'm going to when I leave here. I know that. I don't recall what it's like because that's been erased on purpose.
Do you fear death, Dan?
No.
I don't either.
The only thing I feared about dying was not accomplishing my mission. That's the only thing I worried about dying about. I did not want to die before I accomplished what He put me here to do. That's the only reason I tried to stay alive.
My only fear was pain. If I go, I would like to go to bed, go to sleep, and not wake up. But I know we don't always get what we want.
I know. Yeah, I believe every person has that.
If I had developed a lump in my breast or something like that, and I knew I had terminal cancer, I would not get chemotherapy and all that. I would maybe go with Yahweh's dietary laws and eat raw vegetables, which I have found through my research does a lot in starving the cancer in your body instead of eating junk. I would do that, but I would never let them push chemotherapy into me because that's prolonging your life and giving you a painful, horrible, miserable death.
Yeah, I've lost family to that procedure. I've been down that road more times than I care to remember.
I've seen it all.
Yeah, well, you're a retired nurse, so I'm sure you have seen it all. I've seen enough, but I'm sure in a career of nursing, you've seen a lot more than I have. I made in my mind a long time ago that man's way is not my way. I've even told my family, I'm looking into it, that when my final days come, I want to be cleansed and put in the ground exactly the way my ancestors were. Do not take me to a morgue. I don't
can
want
I,
those.
Can I tell you one experience I had, and I'll just leave it there?
Right.
In the hospital, when I was a young nurse, there was this lady. She was in her 80s. She had beautiful sparkling blue eyes and white hair, and she was cheerful and everything. But we knew she was dying due to her physical infirmities that are happening to her. But there were two or three nurses in a room at that time doing patient care for her. And she asked if we'd put the head of her bed up. And we put it up a little bit. And she looked up in the distance and she put her hand out and she said, "Oh, really?" And she passed.
Really?
Beautiful look and smile on her face, as though she could see something joyful coming. Her hand went right up in the air and said, "Oh, really?" That is how I would like to go.
Yep. There's a lady named Sam Simpson that wrote a book to honor my father and my mother, because when her mom was her time, she did it exactly as I'm talking about, because that's where I got the idea. Sam set everything up ahead of time so that her mom was never going to go to a morgue. She passed in her home with her daughter by her side. She never had any organs taken out, no draining of the blood, none of the nonsense we do today. And Sam says in the book, and she describes what happened, she said the most amazing thing was, as her mom laid there after she passed, she got younger looking. She said there were no negative things that went on at all. And again, the longer she laid there, the younger, she just kept looking younger and younger and younger and at peace. And then finally, the family showed up and they did the ritual cleansing of the body and wrapped her up. And they had a plot of ground and a backhoe had dug it out and they laid her to rest. And that was it. Okay, no fuss, no funeral home, no mortuary and all the disgusting things they do to a body. People really need to look into this. That's the problem. People have a mental image of what goes on, like for circumcision and for the morgue and what they do, but nobody ever actually goes and witnesses it. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you witnessed a circumcision or you witnessed what they do to the body, I think you might change your mind. Just like my daughter, when she became a nurse and she went and worked in a nursing home for a while, the first thing she said was, "I will never put a family member of mine in a nursing home, and I will never allow you to put me in a nursing home, ever." And she's not the only nurse I've had tell me that. So again, ignorance and what we think we know about reality is quite different than the real thing. And that's why I want to get back to completely living as my ancestors did long ago and scrap all of this modern bullshit that we've just let the government and all these, quote, businesses come up around us and regulate our lives to the point you can't even bury a loved one without somebody trying to interfere. It's just incredible. Now think about this for a minute. The animal kingdom doesn't obey any of these rules, and yet we're still here. You know, they make it sound like, well, if you died out in the woods, it would contaminate everything. We'd have disease and rats. And it, really? Then why don't we have it now? Because dogs, cats, birds, pheasants, moles, rabbits, they die out in the woods all the time. Nobody's embalming them and putting them 6 feet in the dirt. There's death all around us, and it was created that way. And yet we believe that the Father is blessing us for doing all of this ritualistic bullshit that we do. And at what a price. My sister, when she passed, my brother-in-law paid somewhere in the area of $30,000 or $35,000. Okay, you're already grief-stricken. You're already going through all that. And then you find out it's going to cost the family $35,000 to lay them to rest, when our ancestors used to go out in a beautiful pasture or a field or a hilltop and just dig a hole and respectfully lay them to rest, as was done for thousands of years. It's part of life, folks. Why do we let the Babylonians convince us of all this other crap that always has red tape attached, always has a expensive price tag attached, and doesn't do a damn thing to make it a better world or to treat our loved ones any better? When Sam buried her mom, as she describes it in the book, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing for her mom and for her and for the rest of the family. Beautiful. Okay. If you haven't got it, yeah, go ahead.
You know why they call the after death 3 days wait a wake? Before they had all this embalming stuff, when a body died, when out in the prairie or something like that, sometimes a sickness or something would imitate death. So they would wait 3 days. And if the body did not animate in those 3 days, and sometimes it did after 2 or 3 hours of death, the animation would come because the heart rate would be so slight and the vital signs would be almost indetectable. They would wait to see if the body woke up. So they would wait for 3 days. And if the body didn't reanimate in 3 days, they buried it. But now they embalm them. So what is the sense of awake?
Well, exactly right. And in fact, that's where the word dead ringer comes from. Oh, yeah. Is they used to bury people with a string attached to their, I believe it was to their fingers or some part of their body, because sometimes they buried people and there was a guy whose job was to sit in the graveyards and listen for a dead ringer, because they would pull on the string and ring a bell and they knew to dig the person up that they didn't actually die. Now, can you imagine that, waking up and you're buried in a coffin and you're not even dead yet? I mean, what man does to mankind amazes me. Almost every day when I go to bed at night, I lay there and in my conversation with the Father, I am astounded at what man will do to man, his fellow man. It's just unbelievable to me what we're capable of doing to each other. It's just, I don't know. It just boggles my mind. It really does. We got some new folks here. We got Elka has come in. I've unmuted you, Elka. And, I think that's you're online and you're on the phone at the same time. Did you want to say something, Elka?
Not yet. Maybe later.
Okay. You can mute yourself then. That way, if you want to say something, you can unmute yourself.
Okay.
Very good. But yeah, that's the biggest thing that in my years of traveling and being on this earth and all is just utter amazement at what man is capable of doing to his fellow man. And some of the, just like with this stupidity of the COVID lie, all the other lies that we're fully aware of now, the government lies about almost everything, but now they've even made our final days on Earth a nightmare for us and for our families, especially if you accidentally end up in the hands of the hospital, the healthcare facilities. That's a prison almost, because now you've got Big Brother involved, you've got the medical mafia involved. It's just a nightmare. Everything's a nightmare if you get these people involved. I spoke with some people earlier today. They've got some property out in what would you call it? Almost like the wetlands. It's very, very small population lives out in that area. I think they have like 150 acres. And so we're in communications about possibly building a retreat out there. But it's away from the world. It's a beautiful thing. The family goes out there and they are off grid. And they said, you know, it's refreshing to the soul to get away from the crowds, to get away from all the rules and regulations and just be on the land. You know, to cook food over an open fire, and no electronics. Just go out there and be men and women on the land, as our ancestors were for a very long time, as our Heavenly Father intended us to be. He didn't want us to be slaves to a bunch of zombies and Zionist devil-worshipping, blood-drinking monsters that walked this earth. That wasn't his intention. But our people have been brainwashed because of their lack of resolve. And as Scripture says in Revelation, they have gotten themselves drunk on the delicacies, and again, you got to go to the Greek to get the full meaning of this, but drunk on the delicacies of Babylon. So our people act like they're drunk. They sure as hell do. And they are fixated on technology and anything new, even if it's not technology, as long as it's new. A new fad, a new design, a new fashion, a new piece of hardware, a new car, whatever. They are drunk with their desire for what Babylon can give them. The trinkets, the toys. And they literally will do anything to get these things. That's amazing. And that's why the enemy has had such an easy way of pushing us around with all this nonsense that's going on now. It's just, it's incredible. So anyway, open forum, I'll yield on that topic if unless somebody has a question or has got something new. Anything on anybody's mind? Questions, reports, observations? Inclinations. How about you, Cody? What have you been up to?
Well, right now I'm kind of doing a little pest control out here in my backyard with the garden and everything like that. So I'm kind of listening and doing a little pest control at the same time. So it took me a minute to get on the phone. Okay.
You're doing all right, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm doing all right. I mean, the state is... It's not all bad, though. I live in a nice area where it's, you know, pretty much out in the middle, just a lot of farmland, so I've been blessed with that, really. I believe that, you know, I got land that I got, and I can grow a garden. I got, you know, raising chickens and this and that, and so I've been trying to wake people up here and there that I can, you know, just kind of putting the little tidbits in their ears and letting them go with it, see where they go with it, stuff like that. So, I mean, I suppose, you know, the way things, you know, being the way things are, I actually have been blessed, and I don't deserve it at all, one bit at all. So I often ask myself, I ask the Father, hey, what have I done, you know, because I'm not perfect in any way, shape, or form. Seriously, yeah. I ask me why, and I don't know, but I'm not gonna, you know, It is what it is for right now. As you know, I'm blessed. I still got a job. You know, it's a real crappy job, but I still got something, you know. So I'm gonna just kind of ride that out, and whatever he gives me, I'll take advantage of it as best I can, and hopefully I can do the right thing with it.
Yeah, I've been in that same boat many, many nights, just thanking the Father for all the blessings in my life. Way too many to even try to count here, and then always asking why. Why have you allowed me to see the things that I've seen and realize the things I've realized when I'm not a very good example? I'm not the strongest. I'm not the mightiest warrior. I'm not the greatest speaker. You know, it's why did you pick me? I think a lot of us have that kind of feeling. We don't feel worthy. But then again, you know, he picks us, and you got to trust his judgment. He sees more in you than we often see in ourselves.
I just feel like, you know, a lot of times I'm just kind of just drifting, you know, like, what have I accomplished down here? I really, you know, a lot of times I'm like, what have I done? You know?
Sometimes,
and I just,
yeah. Sometimes you don't notice. It reminds me of what my grandfather and my father told me right before I left to go to basic training. And my dad had told me this over the years many times, but he really stressed it when I was ready to leave home and go into the military. And he said, don't ever worry about how much money you're going to make or impressions or try to fake who you really are. He said, you just do the job you know to do, keep your nose clean, show up on time, present yourself well, be a good student, do the best you can. He goes, and the right people will be watching. He said, you'll probably never know that they're there. And then it really hit home while I was at basic training, because on one afternoon, we had been told by our training instructor, who was a sergeant, that we were always to march from the barracks to the chow hall. And we were on the honor system to do that, because a lot of times the TIs weren't there watching us, so we were on the honor system. So this particular afternoon, a bunch of us were getting ready to go to the chow hall, and I told the guys, I said, hey, the sergeant wants us to march. And for a change, it was nice because the guys didn't argue with me. Because a lot of times you always get that guy, yeah, we're not going to do that. He's not watching. This time the guys all lined up. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. So I called them to attention, and I marched them right to the front of the door. We went in, and we ate chow, and we came out, and they got in line, and I marched them right to the front of the barracks and dismissed them. And I looked up, and who do I see hiding in the shadows on the building right across from where we were? Our drill instructor. He was watching us, and long story short, that and other episodes, and I got an extra stripe coming out of basic training because I graduated in the top 10%. So, again, the words of my father and grandfather echoed in my ears, and it was wise, and by putting it into action, what they had said actually came true. I didn't know he was watching, but the drill instructor took note of the fact that me and the guys did what we were told to do. And there were other things that happened too, but that was the one where it really struck home. So, and it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father, you know, and He's watching all the time, and there's people here on earth that watch what we do and say, and they don't always acknowledge it, but somewhere down the road, you'll find out that you did something or said something that will have a dramatic effect on another person and possibly change their entire life and change yours. So you're doing something right, Cody, probably a lot more than one thing, and you just need to stay the course and we'll find out what the Father wants us to do here in due time, I'm sure.
Yeah, just one more thing, just a little thing. I just, I try and tell people, just be happy with what you have. You don't
Amen.
need a lot to be. You don't need a lot to be happy. I mean, I don't have a big house and a mansion and stuff like that. I guess, a small house. It's less than, about less than 5 acres, but it's enough. Really had to, and it was never about the money or anything like that. Like, and I never, ever had any inkling to get more and more and this and that. I've never bought a new damn vehicle a day in my life. I don't know. Like I said, just be happy with what you're blessed with.
Amen. Yeah. That's part of the problem with our people today. They always want more. Bigger house, bigger car, newer this, newer that, fancier this. They're almost never satisfied with what they've got, and that's how the enemy gets us. As soon as he's figured that out about you, he's got your weakness, and then that leads to the downfall of many people. I see Kumri's joined us. Kumri, how you doing tonight? And you got anything you want to bring to the group?
To the group.
I'm doing pretty good, just sitting here in the parking lot waiting for my shift to start. As for anything new or around that, I would say not really. Nothing really news going on, at least here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Hold the mic a little bit closer to you. You're kind of soft there. I did want to ask, you sent some pictures of when the skies were like almost an orangish color there when those fires were going on. Is that cleared up, or is it still smoky and cloudy up that way?
Oh, no, it's all cleared up now.
Okay.
But after those photos, I'd say it took another 2 or 3 days before it finally fully cleared up.
Was anybody hurt by breathing in any of that stuff that you know of?
No, not that I know of. No one's complained of any kind of problems or lung issues or anything like that.
Okay.
It's funny. It's funny because they were up here in New York. They were actually handing out N95 masks and advising you to put a mask on when you're outside and stuff because of the smoke and all the fumes. They were freaking scaring the hell out of people.
Oh, I bet. My question would be, does the N95 do anything to help with that? I would think
No.
You'd need a full respirator.
I told people, well, if that's the case, and every time you have a nice campfire, outdoors at night, put your mask on if you're so damn concerned.
Jeez.
It was pretty hard, and there was people actually walking down the street with a damn mask on.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, you guys, what the hell's wrong with you?
They don't think about stuff. They don't realize that that mask doesn't really stop a hell of a lot. In fact, I used to paint cars, not professionally, but I used to do work on cars, and sometimes I was grinding or sandblasting. Other times I would be painting with acrylic and stuff like that. And you were told to wear a respirator, and a respirator has actual filters that you screw onto it that actually will stop fumes and contaminants from getting into your lungs. But they're not cheap. They're not outrageous, but they're not cheap like an N95. But they actually work. I've been in environments that were extremely hazardous. In fact, I used to work in a chlorinator where chlorine was put into the water that would cool the reactor and cool the generator. And chlorine is deadly. You only have to get a small whiff of chlorine and you're dead. So we had to wear respirators anytime we worked in the chlorinator area, because if and you had to be very careful, because if you had a small break where it fit against your face, and that happened to me one time. I had a very small break in my mask, and a tiny bit of chlorine came in there, and I'm going to tell you, it almost knocked me out. And it was just a tiny wisp of chlorine. I can only imagine what it would be like not to have a respirator and accidentally end up in a situation where chlorine gas was there, because you wouldn't last. but a few seconds. It's that bad. So respirators are definitely lifesavers, but you got to have ones that, first of all, they have to fit properly. A lot of people don't even know that. If it doesn't fit properly, it's not going to protect you. And number two, you got to have the right filters on it. So I don't know. People are so easily led with stories, and they don't have a questioning attitude these days, not much at all. That's why I've said on this program so many times, don't take my word for anything. Do your own research. It's what I did. When I first learned the identity message, I sought out every teacher of the message I could. I wanted to hear from all of them. And what I came to find out is some of them taught things that made sense, and I kept what they said, but there were other things they taught that I thought was completely bogus. And so I ended up with a compilation of what I thought was commonsensical and biblical sound doctrine, but it was a combination of these multitude of identity teachers, and it wasn't the teachings of any one of them. And that's why I tell people, you got to do the same thing I did. You can like some of the things I try to teach, but I'm sure there's some things that you think I'm off the charts with, but then do your own research. Have your own prayer time with the Father. Ask him to open your discernment to seek the truth and have him put the truth in front of you. A lot of times the Father brought people into my life to teach me things. So go ahead, Kumri.
Yeah, it's about the what you were saying with the respirator and how, you know, it doesn't necessarily, there's a lot involved with the respirator. But another thing that people don't realize is I think a lot of people have problems imagining how small viruses are, to where even respirators are not going to stop the minuscule nature of a virus. First of all, they're not. I don't believe they're contagious, but if they were, even respirators, unless they're designed specifically for viruses, it's not going to stop a virus because how actually small they are.
Right. Yeah, I like a lot of the doctors that are putting out the information that what they're calling a virus is just cell debris. But here again, I mean, people thought, as Ella so well put, they told us a common cold was now called coronavirus. So they took a common cold and its symptoms, gave it a new name, and caused everybody to panic. And all it was a common cold. That's all it ever was. And they just called it something different in the media, and everybody panicked. It was absolutely unbelievable. Ella, you got your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to remove it. I would just want to say there's a very easy test to see how effective your mask is when you put something on, if it's going to keep out any bacteria or viruses or anything. If you put your mask on, whatever kind it is, have somebody take a couple of packets of saccharin and sprinkle them in front of you, and you breathe in. If you can taste the saccharin, then that mask is a useless piece of crap.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. That's one way of doing it. Or if you have access to something like banana oil, in the nuclear industry, every year we had to be fit with a mask and do a test to make sure our facial features had not changed so much that the mask would no longer fit. So we'd have to go into a chamber and they would put, I think it was called banana oil, into the atmosphere because it's so strong. And if we could smell it, then that meant, of course, the mask wasn't working. Or we had leaks around our face and chins and things like that, where masks sometimes don't fit right. So there are inexpensive things you can do and very quickly determine if your mask is working or not. So, all right. Anything else? Anybody got anything else before we wrap it up for the night? I don't see any hands. All right. Well, like I said, we'll stay in, on top of things. If there's an emergency, we'll have an emergency broadcast. I'll put that out. Always remember, you can go to the Listen Live page on my website, which is PastorDan.net. Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, PastorDan.net. And the Listen Live page is where the schedules are and it has the links on how to join the call. But anyway, we'll, as a group, we'll keep an eye on things, try to discern what's really going on versus what the media and all the talking heads are telling us, because most of the time it's not right. So, to Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to come together as a family. We thank you for reaching out to each and every one of us and calling us out, as it says in Scripture, rather than us calling you. You've picked us for a purpose. We ask that you help us to visualize that and understand what our job is, what our task is to perform here on this earth. We ask you to give us strength to accomplish that task and give us good discernment. Also, give us a heart of concern for so many of our people that are going through hard times right now. And forgive us our shortcomings and our stumblings. And always, we ask for protection against our enemies. In Yahweh's name, we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.